being here with us. I'm glad you're here with us. If you're here visiting with us, we don't take your presence for granted. Just make yourself at home. Feel welcome. But more than I'm glad that you're here, I'm glad that God has met here with us this morning. I come here to feel His presence and to be here with Him. But I am thankful that you're here with us. If we'll take your Bibles, turn me to Acts chapter number 16. Be taking our reading out of Acts chapter number 16. I do desire your prayers this morning that I'll be able to preach exactly what I feel like God's laid upon my heart. Just excited. I hope I can slow down my mind just a little bit. I believe I could have run a circle just a minute ago, but I didn't want to cause too much of a disturbance this morning. But I'm telling you, when we get to the place that we just believe God in every circumstance that we're in, we get to the place that we know that we're just pilgrims and strangers here, and we know that we're searching for a city whose builder and maker is God, then all of these problems that we have will shrink right before our eyes. There are no problems in my life or in your life that is too big for our God. He's got us. He knows exactly what's going on. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me that will just allow God to move in our service today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity that I have to be in your house, God, to be here with my family, right here at Fellowship, God. I'm so thankful that you've allowed us to be here. And God, I know that you know my life, God. You know my mind. You know my you know everything about me, God. And you know that I fall and I come short. God, I ask you to forgive me for all those times that happens in my life and help me to draw closer to you, God. Help me to seek you in my life, to walk in your ways, God. And God, I pray for the rest of my family that's here with me today, God, for each and every family that is represented here this morning, God. For whatever's going on in our lives, God, help us to look unto you, to believe that you're there for us, to believe that no matter what we're in, God, that you got us. God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into the message this morning, that you'll bless. God, I pray that you'll clear my mind. God, slow my emotion down just a little bit, God, that I may focus and be able to listen for your small voice, still small voice in my life, God. Most of all, I pray for this one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as a personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Acts chapter number 16, we're going to begin reading here in just a few minutes and verse number 20. But maybe just to kind of catch us up to what's going on in Acts chapter number 16 is we're going to be reading about Paul and Silas this morning. And y'all know that my son's name is Silas, and this is some of my favorite scripture in the Bible and some that I heard. I don't even like to call it a story because I don't want you to even confuse it one minute for something that may be fiction. This is the true living Word of God. This actually took place. And you know, when Silas was little, his first little dog that he got, they was out there running in the yard one day, and as it was just a little puppy, as we just got it, I asked Silas, I said, Silas, what do you want to name your little dog? His first little dog's name was Paul. So we had Paul and Silas running around in our front yard as we were little. But this is some of my favorite scripture in the Bible. And as we get into Acts chapter number 16, what we can find out is that Paul and Silas is out and they're doing the work of God. And they come upon a lady that has been following them for a couple of days. And this lady is demon-possessed. But this lady, she's allowing her masters to make a lot of money off of her because she's a soothsayer. She's a fortune teller. And she is able to do this because of this demon that is possessing her. Well, one day, Paul and Silas, they turn around and they rebuke the demon that is in her. And she, right then and there, that demon flees from her. But then also, there goes her ability to do the soothsaying, to do the fortune telling. So her masters are not happy. You would think that anyone that was in the shape maybe that she was in, when they were released from that everybody would be happy. But no, there was somebody making monetary gain off of her life, so they were no longer happy. So these guys are now after Paul and Silas. These guys are not happy about what has happened. So let's begin reading. I'm going to read verse number 19 and then pick right up in verse number 20. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. Verse 20, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They didn't exceedingly trouble the city. They troubled their pockets is what happened. Verse number 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So as we see here, that not only did they come and take Paul and Silas and rip their clothes off of them and begin to beat them, but then they gave the guy a charge to say, you be sure that these guys don't get away. You be sure you keep your eyes on them. So this guy took them down into the inner prison. And in my mind, I almost see a dungeon. I see a place that you would think that there is absolutely no way that they can escape from this place. And they take them down into this dungeon. And not only did they take them down into this inner jail, but then they placed their feet in the stocks so to be sure that they couldn't run. And if I had been in this place, if I had been Paul and Silas, I probably would have been in a place that I was whining and that I was complaining and that I was questioning God about how, God, we did something that we thought that was your will. We did something that we thought was good by releasing this lady from her demons, and here we sit in prison, God. I can't believe that you're not with us, God. I can't believe that you would allow this to happen to us. But I'm glad that Paul and Silas are not of the same mindset that I am. Verse number 24 again, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I want you to know that as Paul and Silas was sitting here in this inner prison, as they were sitting there in the stocks, they weren't whining and complaining, but I believe that they were saying, we believe God. I believe that they were sitting there saying, we know that we're in a bad situation. We know that we're not exactly where we want to be, but we know that our God has got us, and he is still worthy of our honor and our glory and our praise. And as they sat there in that prison that night, and they began to raise their voices, they begin to lift their praise unto God, that some amazing things happen. I want my life to mirror Paul and Silas. I want to be a place in my life that no matter what's going on, that I'm always glorifying God, that I'm always honoring God and giving him the praise that he is truly worthy of. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Listen, and the prisoners heard them. Verse number 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. I want to tell you something. When the devil begins to give you trouble in your life, and he tries to put you into prison, and he tries to hold you down, you begin to honor, praise, and worship God, and it will shake him. That if you want to go against the devil, don't go against it with your own will, your own knowledge, or your own experience. I want you to take God to him. I want you to take your praise and your worship. And when you begin to do that, just as the Bible tells us here that the prison was shaken, you will begin to shake the devil in his very boots that he's standing in. Verse number 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That amazes me. It doesn't amaze me so much that Paul and Silas were still there, because they were having a good time right where they were at. But for all of the other prisoners to still be there, that kind of amazes me. Verse number 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I want to tell you something this morning. That's some of the best preaching that you can have right there. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you this morning that it's not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not about how much money you give or who you are or what your last name is, how many times you've been sprinkled, dunked, baptized, nothing like that. It's do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to come and give his life on the cross for you, and have you accepted that as your salvation? Verse number 32, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them to the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, listen to this, believing in God with all his house. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Again, some of my favorite scripture in the Bible, but this morning as I was reading this again, preparing for the message today, there was something that kind of jumped out at me, and I know I'm not taking anything out of context here. I'm just taking the way that it's written in the Bible, and it kind of just struck me right upside the head. I want you to go back with me to verse number 25. Verse number 25, we're going to look at the end of the verse. The way this is worded in the Bible and the way that I read it this morning just kind of, it busted me right upside the head. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Listen to this last part. and the prisoners heard them. Now, I know that we could look at this and we could say, and the other prisoners heard them, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. And when I read that this morning, I said, you know, I love the way that this is written. You know what? I wouldn't stand here and let's kind of like Lynn said this morning in Sunday school, I'm not going to stand and debate with you on different subjects and different things. And people want to take, and they want to take God's word, and let's get out there on a limb for just a minute, and they want to change and get different versions of the Bible and read this version over here, and that, and what you do on your own time is completely up to you. But I am thankful for the word of God, the true word of God. I believe in the King James Bible, and I believe that we as a church body, we're going to stand on the King James Bible, and we're going to stick with it, and there's no reason to go changing it. But as we read this morning, I love the way that it says in the end of verse number 25, and the prisoners heard them. You know what that gave me the thought of? That Paul and Silas, as they were sitting here in the inner prison, in stocks, it was as if Paul and Silas said, we may be in jail, but we're not prisoners. We may be down here in this inner prison. We may be in stocks, but you know what? We're still as free can be, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he set us free. And if you've been set, you have set free. You are free indeed this morning. You may be in a bad place this morning, but as Paul and Silas was sitting here in this jail, they may have thought that they were prisoners, but they were not prisoners. They proved that by the way they began to lift their voices unto God and to sing praises unto God and to worship him and to give him glory. It was as if Paul and Silas had the mindset, we may be in jail, but we're not prisoners. I want you to know this morning, if they had that mindset that they were prisoners, they may have not been singing and praising. So many times we get into a place that we let Satan come and we let him put bonds on us. We let him burden us down. We let him tie us up. But I want you to know this morning that if you are saved by the grace of God, that you have been set free. Don't let Satan bind you up. Don't let him try to put those old shackles on you. And even if you're in a place that you feel burdened, if you feel like you are kind of getting bound up again, I want you to know that you are not a prisoner unto him anymore, that you have been set free by the grace of God. The other prisoners heard them. That's not what it says. And the prisoners heard them. We may be in jail, but we're not prisoners. And I read that this morning, it triggered a couple more thoughts in my mind. Listen, in my life, I might be in a jam. I might be in a tight spot. I might be between a rock and a hard place. I might be in a place in my life that I'm just having a hard time, but I'm not without hope. This morning, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You might be in a jam, in a tight spot between a rock and a hard place, but I'm glad to tell you this morning that you're not without hope. You have hope in Jesus Christ this morning. You have hope through salvation. You have hope that he said that he would always be there with you. I'm glad this morning that no matter where you're walking, what kind of burden may be in your life, what kind of jam or tight spot you may be, that you have hope in Jesus Christ. Don't get to the place to where you think, well, I'm in a jam, I'm in a tight spot, I don't have hope, because you might be in those places, but you are not without hope. Just as Paul and Silas realized in their life that they may be in prison, they may be in jail, but they were not prisoners, we can be in a jam, in a tight spot, between a rock and a hard place, but you're not without hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. In other words, has resurrected us again unto a lively hope, listen, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The day that Jesus Christ got up out of that tomb, you are given a hope that nobody can ever take away from you. Amen. You know what? Autumn and I, we bought a little house over here. We got a couple of vehicles in our driveway. We got some, but if I go to not paying my taxes on it next week, you'll realize just real quick that it don't belong to me. Different things in this world that we think that we own, they're not ours at all. But I want to tell you something. I've got a hope in Jesus Christ that nobody can ever take away from me. And if you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior this morning, you have a hope that nobody can ever take away from you. Paul and Silas, they were in jail, but they were not prisoners. Listen to this. we might be broke. You might be in a financial crisis. You might be about to fold. You might be in a place that you're almost ready to declare bankruptcy. But can I tell you this morning, even if you find yourself in those places, you're still not poor. You're still not poor. Hey, the way that this world looks at us, the way that we try to even put ourselves into the category sometimes, it's about finances. It's about financial gain. It's about how much money do I have in the bank. But that does not at all define whether you're rich or whether you're poor this morning. That does not define at all who you are, whether you've been successful. That does not define that at all. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 10, the end of the verse says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have everything that you will ever need. You have everything. You have more. Look, first of all, let's go. If you want to look at possessions, first of all, the Bible tells me that my father owns the cattle on a thousand hill. And you know what? He owns the grass on the hill. He owns the hill. He owns the dirt. He owns the worms. He owns it all. This morning, our God, He owns everything. There is no reason for me to look and say that I'm poor, because Daddy has it all. And one day He's going to give it all to me, and I'm going to be in His presence with Him forever. You might be in a place that you don't think that you have anything, that you're broke, that you're in a financial crisis, but this morning we are not poor. We are so rich in the grace and the mercy and the abundance of God this morning that we should not ever look at ourselves then think that you're poor, not for one second. You know, I always have said I'm saving up to be poor. But I'm telling you right now that God has blessed me so far beyond anything that I ever could imagine. And more than that, the spiritual blessings that are in my life, I'm so thankful this morning that if I lose it all tomorrow. Now look, I ain't going to tell you that you might not have to come get me up. And you might catch me out there, as I've told you the story before about me and my dog eating my popsicle. If I lose everything tomorrow, me and my dog might be out there eating a popsicle again, and I might be whining and crying. But you might have to come pick me up and help me to realize, Josh, no matter what, if you lose it all, as long as you've got your God, you've got everything. You may have to come remind me of that, but please do. Church, this morning, as long as we've got God, we've got everything in this world and more abundantly beyond this world. Paul and Silas might have been in jail, but they were not prisoners. You may be in a tight spot, but you're not without hope. You may be broke, but you're not poor. You may be in a situation that you don't know what to do. You may not know which way to turn. You may not know what the next solution is. But can I tell you this morning that even if you're in that situation, we know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. Seems like here in the past couple of weeks that I have had people come to me and they've got problems on top of problems on top of problems. And man, I wish that I had a magic wand that I could wave over these situations and say, there it is. It's all settled. It's all taken care of. But I don't have that. If y'all want to buy me one of those, I will take it for pastor appreciation, by the way. But people come to me and they got problems, and man, they got problems that I don't know how to solve. Sometimes I don't even know how to tell them. I don't know anything to do but say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God give you grace and comfort and show you how to do this and the wisdom to do this with. I don't always know, but I can tell you what the answer is. The answer is Jesus Christ. You say, well, you think that Jesus is just going to come wave his magic wand? He can if he wants to. He don't have a magic wand. He's all powerful. He's in control of it all right now. If you belong to him, he's holding you right in the middle of that problem anyway. But I can tell you this, that anything that you need in the middle of that problem, that Jesus is the answer. And you say, well, I don't know about that. I don't get what you're saying. Well, let me tell it to you like this. That Jesus is not just the answer to our spiritual problems, but he is also the answer to our physical problems, our emotional problems, any problem that we have in our life. I can prove it to you. See, he was the answer to the fiery furnace. He was the answer to the den of lions. He was the answer to a sea that needed to be crossed. He was the answer to a wall that needed to fall. He was the answer to hunger, thirst, a big giant. He's been the answer to the lame, the deaf, and the dumb. And most of all, when I was 7 years old, he was the answer to a problem that I did not know the solution to. When I realized that I was lost without Jesus Christ, that I had sin in my life that I needed to be forgiven for, and there was nothing that nobody in this world could do, Jesus Christ was the answer to that in my life. And from that moment that I got down on my knees and I asked him to forgive me for my sins and to come into my life, he has been the best thing that's ever happened to me. He has moved in in my life and been a friend that nobody else could be. He's been there when nobody else could be there. He has been the answer so many times in my life. And whatever we're going through this morning, he is the answer to whatever you're going through. Paul and Silas may have been in jail, but they were not prisoners. You may be in the middle of a problem that you don't know the solution, but Jesus is the answer. You may be, listen, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, catch this one. You may be in this world. Somebody's already wanting to finish that for me, but you're not of this world. This world is taking a quick down spiral. And you say, I don't know about that, preacher. Everything's good. Business is good. Everything. Look, don't base it on finances and economy and all that. When you look at the spiritual condition of this world, we are in a downward spiral. Now, it's being hidden. It's being masked a little bit right now because we're a little bit the kind of people, as long as our finances are doing good and our businesses are doing good, that we let the spiritual aspect kind of go into the background. But this morning, if we'll forget about whether business is good, forget about whether you've got a few dollars in your pocket, forget about that, and you look at the spiritual condition of this world, it's in a downward spiral. But I'm thankful that I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. See, they got me listed as a citizen of 401 Old Hollow Road, Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. But I want to tell you right now, I'm a citizen of glory this morning. I don't know what my address is over there yet is, but I'm going to tell you, I am a citizen over there. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It doesn't matter what they do to me here. I'm going yonder. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world this morning. I hope that you can feel the same way. As you look at your life this morning, are you in this world and not of this world? We may be by ourselves, but we're never alone. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 20. Boy, I wish y'all could have got this with me when I got it late last night and God was giving this to me. I could have had a shouting fit right there. I was laying in the bed trying to pray and God was giving me some of these things in my mind. I wish y'all could have been with me there. Y'all might have had a shouting fit with me. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 20. Look, we may be by ourselves, but we're never alone. Bible tells us, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. There have been times when I felt alone. There's been times, hey, even as a pastor, there's been times that some of you have brought me some stuff and said, hey, look, I need to tell you something, and this is in confidence. There's been deacons meetings that were in confidence, and I'm not even at liberty to discuss it with my wife, and sometimes I feel very alone. Sometimes I feel like, okay, I need to talk to somebody, and I have to ride down the road and talk to the windshield. And sometimes you feel very lonely. I know y'all do too. Y'all got problems that you don't want nobody to know about. You got things going on in your life that you don't want the whole world to discover, and you're trying to figure out how to solve those problems. But just realize in the middle of those times when you feel by yourself that you're never alone, that Jesus said, I'm going to go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter where you're at, I'll always be there. Sometimes I wished he was here in the flesh. Sometimes I wish I could see him, but I tell you this morning, if we'll open our spiritual minds, our spiritual eyes, and our spiritual heart, you can know without a doubt that he's right there with you. Some of you have experienced it. You've been through things that nobody else in this world could comfort you. You've been through things that no one else even knew what was going on, but God knew what was going on, and he made himself very real to you. Last of all, and I'm about to close, I think if we'll remember these things in our life, Hannah, come on and get us the invitational hymn. If we'll remember these things in our life, see, I think one of my biggest prayers that I pray is, God, I want to influence somebody else. Do you know what? There is only one thing in this world that you can take to heaven with you. There is only one thing in this world that you can take to heaven with you, and that's other people. You can't take money, you can't take possessions, but you can take others. And I think one of my most fervent prayers with God is that when I meet people who are lost, that I'll be a light to them. That when I'm just living daily, that I'll be a light to them. Well, you know what? You know how I said earlier that if I'd found myself in the shape that Paul and Silas was in, that I'd probably been sitting there whining and complaining and just throwing a pity party. There is no possible way in the world. Listen, if Paul and Silas had been sitting in that prison that day, and they had been whining and complaining and old me-ing and trying to get sympathy from other people, there is no way that the outcome would have happened that happened. But because in the middle of their trial and in the middle of the thing that they was going through, they began to raise their voices unto God. They began to lift their head and look unto God and just thank Him and praise Him. Because of that, God moved in an amazing way. And the next thing you know, this guy's saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, do we spend more time focusing on what we think, that we think that we're broke, that we think that we're in a tight spot, that we think all these bad things, or do we spend more time thinking, "Oh, but I'm not alone. Oh, but He's always going to be here with me. Oh, but my Father owns it all. I have hope." If we'll spend a little more time thinking on those things, it will cause us to begin to worship. I hope I don't embarrass somebody, but Justin and I were talking just this week, and he was talking about he had a day this week that just went terrible. It may have been a couple of weeks ago, but we were talking about this week, and how everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And he said he had to go do this, and had to go get the other truck, and I had to do this. And I said, "Yeah," I said, "now look, this is not me. This is the way my wife thinks. We can have a bill come up that I wasn't expecting for $200, and I just fall apart. Oh, Lord, where did that come from? Blah, blah. I mean, I've told y'all before, I'm the worry wart." And Autumn looked at me and said, "Well, just be glad you got the $200 to pay it with." And she goes on. And then I'll sit there looking stupid. That's what happens. And Justin and I were talking this morning. He said, "Well, I had to go get the other vehicle, and I had to go to..." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "But if we could get in the right mindset, we could think, but Lord, thank you that I had another vehicle. Lord, thank you that you gave me the ability to fix this one. Lord, thank you that I had a few extra dollars to take care of the problem." But see, a lot of times I focus too much on where I think that I am instead of what God's going to do for me right where I'm at. And you know what happens? I don't have people looking at me saying, "Sir, what must I do?" I'm going to change this to my words. "What must I do to have what you've got?" They look at me and go, "I thought he said that he had a God that knew the answer to every problem. I thought he said that he had a God that could deliver him out of everything, but here he is, all upset about where he's at." Church, this morning, if we want to point others to the cross of Christ, we got to realize that all of this stuff out here means nothing. All of this stuff out here that we feel like is so important is nowhere near as important as pointing others to the cross of Christ. Paul and Silas, they had in their mind, "We're going to praise God, we're going to lift His name up." Church, wherever we're at and whatever we're doing, let's lift up the name of God. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Let's let others know that absolutely no matter where they're at, He is the answer to their problems. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of this stuff that I have said, you may feel this way, but you don't have that promise. Come to know Jesus Christ before it's too late. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Where are you at in your Christian life? Are you in Paul and Silas's shoes? Are you in the place that no matter what's going on, you're worshiping and you're praising, and man, just God is great, and people are looking at you and saying, "I want what they have"? Or maybe you're like me, and I found the realization of I'm concentrating too much on where I'm at instead of who He is. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I know that I'm saved by the grace of God, but I want my life to point others to the cross of Christ. I want you to pray for me that I'll realize more and more who He is instead of where I'm at. Would you just lift your hand and let me pray for you? Yeah, I see hands all over the church. Amen, they're all over the church. God, we want to lift you up. God, we want to praise you. God, we want to point others to you. Lord, I just want to thank you and I want to praise you for this time that you've allowed us to be together this morning. God, help me to have the faith that Paul and Silas had, to realize I may be in jail, but I'm not in prison. To realize I may be in these other circumstances, but God, you're always there and you are the answer. And God, as we have an opportunity to come to this altar and talk to you, God, as we have an opportunity just to come and to ask for your help, God, give us the strength, give us the courage to be everything that you would have us to be, to lift our voices to you. And God to point others to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.